We've been looking at a passage of Scripture that talks about Jesus' work in our life. Guess what? I'm dead. So if you want to... Here, Rob says he'll do that. So we're in that passage of Scripture that hints at what we're going to look at this morning. For unto us a child is born. And the names that we've been looking at have been in what ways are they are names attributed to this child, which describe what kind of child it's going to be. So this passage that we'll be looking at will address how this child is unique and special. We've been celebrating that each Sunday of Advent. Would you read with me, please? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I like that last part, the zeal of the Lord. The passion of God is going to make this happen. God's passion for his people, for those that he created, will accomplish this. And then again, these three or four names. We understood in the first section that comma between wonderful and counselor in the NIV translation, it could be and probably is wonderful counselor. Seems to follow that same kind of pattern. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so we learn more about how he is part of that and how there is a sense in which Jesus in his coming is marked out to be that person that's described here. And there is a sense in which in his second coming, everything that we see promised here, which is not yet happened, will happen. And so when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate two comings of Christ, the birth of Christ, and we celebrate the second coming of Christ. We looked at the idea of Wonderful Counselor, and with Wonderful Counselor, in part of that, on Advent Sunday 1, we learned that the Spirit of God rests on him. And in such a way that he understands humanity's needs, can actually appraise our problems, speak to our problems. He has succeeded where we often fail, especially when it comes to knowing and living wholly devoted to God. He modeled that. And he knows everything and how to help us and has a proven track record as well. He lives and is with us today to help us in all of those ways that we just looked at. The second thing is he is Mighty God, or as the Hebrew says, El Gibor, El meaning God, and Gibor meaning strong and mighty, a strong and mighty warrior. This word was used of many strong and mighty warriors in Israel's history. But what it depicts in terms of Christ is that there is this brave courage that this person acts in. And it also, because it's all-encompassing in the future, he will vanquish all of God's enemies and all creation will bow at his feet. Mighty God. And then we have Everlasting Father. In the sense, Jesus doesn't become Father as God is the Father, but we learned, like our founding fathers, the word father is often used of someone in regard to their rule. And so as one who cares for those who are his subjects, as one who rules in his kingdom, he provides for us, He watches over us, guides, stands, and stays with us, loves us passionately, and gives us new life. So those are the things that we learn about how Jesus is an everlasting Father to us. And this morning we're going to take a look at a Prince of Peace, how we can know God as the Prince of Peace. And again, in our Isaiah passage. First, the idea is that he will bring ultimate and universal peace. Now, that may sound strange to you, especially when you see the lack of it in our world. You just read through the newspaper, listen to the TV or radio, and it just seems that it is full of strife. The history of mankind, one group found when they looked at a period of time, said that basically, in terms of recorded history, only 8% of that time, recorded history, has humanity been at peace. It's remarkable, isn't it? 8%. That boils to down to over, in 5,100 years, only 286 have been warless. In that same period, over 8,000 treaties have been made and broken. So it does sound a little strange that he would be the Prince of Peace. But this is the promise of God through the prophet Isaiah, that he would be a Prince of Peace, a monumental task to accomplish world peace. Remember from one of the passages that you'll remember, which comes from Micah. It talks about Jesus and about his birthplace. It reads this way: "But as for you, Bethlehem, though you are still small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reign from the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." That's the kind of person that we're talking about here. A universal peace and accord between human beings. And oh, we long for that, especially in times like this. We've just finished a series of weeks of hearings, and the discord in those political hearings has been just difficult. There are times I just have to go click to get a little bit of peace. It is remarkable, even in light of that, that this Prince of Peace, that it is inevitable that he will bring his peace to humanity. In Isaiah's words, in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore." There's a, and you have seen probably the bronze sculpture created by the Soviet artist Evgeny Buktik, and was presented to the United Nations in December of 1959 from the government of the USSR. This sculpture depicts the figure of a man with a hammer aloft in one hand and a sword in the other, and he's making that sword into a plowshare, a reference to this passage of Scripture. It's a longing that we have as human beings for peace to finally be here. And this Prince of Peace will actually make it happen in a literal way. We played a little bit of Handel's Messiah as we began our worship service, or just prior to that. And it includes a text from Zechariah's prophecy concerning this Prince of Peace. It shows how it will happen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, when you hear that prophetic word, who does that sound like? Jesus. It sounds like Jesus. Hundreds, centuries before the actual event, here it is prophesied. He comes riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots of Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. So in essence, God is going to remove the instruments of war from mankind. And then he finishes saying, his rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So Jesus, as Prince of Peace, will usher in one of the most unheard of reversals in human history. We have never seen the like. Now, again, I don't want to sound too cynical, but I am a little, about politics in our day. You know, sometimes, and it's ramping up for it in another election. The promises that people make, you would think about promises to end war, to get out of war, promises of affluence, that they're saying, I am he who was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, you know, and they are not going to pull it off. Not in our time, nor in history. There's one who will pull it off, and it will be Jesus, this Prince of Peace. He will affect this war-torn planet until it finally experiences harmony and order. Jesus is the author of the conditions that involve everlasting and unbroken peace. So that takes us through the strangeness of this truth and how big and universal it is and how inevitable it is. Secondly, he will bring us peace with God. And most importantly, this is a personal peace to begin with. The word peace is comes from the Hebrew word shalom here. Shalom is more than just the absence of conflict between people. It isn't detente at all. It is a full and rich experience of wholeness as an individual, where the peace of God resides within the person. And all those motives of stubbornness and rebellion and hatred and competition, these things begin to dissipate like fog in the person. And what remains is this wonderful sense of well-being inside the person because they've been transformed by the love of God for them. And that peace not only affects the individual, but then it begins to work itself outward. It starts on the inside, but then it begins to work its way to the outside. And I think this is probably the way that we can operate as well, letting God's perfect shalom bring wholeness to you and me through his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we learn to live and walk in that sense of peace as well. So there are some things that we could participate in. Peacemaking. When people are transformed within, then it begins to affect how we are in this world. And just starting kind of from the outward ring here, that includes national peace. There are things that we can do that affect that. Sometimes one concrete way that we can affect peace is voting. We need to be careful when we're voting to say what helps, what fosters peace. And so I'm starting from this outer ring that can affect even how nations are with each other. Now, that's about as far much as I'm going to say about politics. I've dipped a couple of times into that. But I want to encourage you to do that. A second thing is that our daily interactions, wherever we go, can be peaceful. Again, in this time of year, especially when we get under pressure, if we still have some shopping to do and have to be out in the crowds and out in the traffic, tempers get a little short. Because some tired clerk can't perform a miracle for you when it comes to the thing that you wanted, or give it to you at the price that you wanted, isn't an opportunity to exercise the idea that the customer is always right. We could be more peaceful in the circumstances that we are, and maybe even bless and encourage somebody who's harried and stressed out and working long hours in a job. So that's the second thing, daily interactions. Friends and family, this is where we live it out, is peacemaking. We are meant to live at peace with each other, and yet sometimes we find it difficult to do that. We find it difficult, in especially family, to live it out. I'm just going to talk as a parent, if we are whiners, we shouldn't be surprised when our kids whine, right? It's a pattern they've seen before. If we are grumps, if we are dismissive, we shouldn't be surprised at that. But there are ways of being with each other in family that are much more life-producing. A peaceful response to someone when you feel irked, or what would you say, they've pushed one of your hot buttons. You know, we all know what those hot buttons are. We know where the chinks in the armor are. But to choose not to do that with family, and to be more peaceful, and to respond in a way that says, you know, I'm not sure what's going on right now, but you seem really upset. How can I help? Instead of pushing the hot button. Those are ways that we could be involved with family. We could also work at being peace and experiencing peace in regard to our unmet wants, needs, and plans. Now, I have a little picture here of something. Do you recognize that as belonging to anything in particular? The yellow brick road in the Wizard of Oz, okay? When it came to the Wizard of Oz story, do you think that the characters in it experienced it as they expected when they started on the journey? No? What got in the way?
A witch.
Okay. Flying monkeys. Things got in the way. Not much about their journey was how they expected it to be, or expected it to work out. I'd like to ask you, have your plans, your direction in life, the things that you've been able to achieve, all worked out as you expected? How many people would say, yeah, I planned it all out, and it worked out just as I expected? I'm not seeing a lot of hands. There are turns in life that really throw us for a loop. And in this, I would especially say to those of you who are young enough to think that you can execute all your plans just as you wish, that it's okay if you don't. It's really okay. It's fun to have goals and to achieve them. But you could see in the room, there was no hands up about anybody who just nailed it. And yet there's a lot of angst we bear within us, if things don't work out just like we'd hoped or wanted, we can even end up in old age feeling, I didn't get it done. I didn't do it like I wanted to. So if we could let that go and just say, where I am, Prince of Peace, come let me, help me be satisfied with the life you're giving me. Prince of Peace, show me the way to walk so that I'm achieving things that are meaningful, but things that please you. Things that matter to you. And then rest in that peace. I think that would be a good thing. So there is this as well, that we can be not only peacemakers in our families, but also when it comes to unmet wants, needs, and plans, that maybe sometimes there's something this Prince of Peace wants to minister to you this season about resting, just being at peace with who you are, who God has made you, and where you are at this time in your life. There's a third thing that I'd like to get to. I'm just going to skip another illustration for the sake of time. But I want to get to another area. When the storms rage, there's in Mark's gospel the story of Jesus taking the disciples in a boat, and that the wind came up and eventually they were afraid for their very lives, and they went to wake him up, and he was asleep. Can you imagine? The Prince of Peace is asleep in the boat with the storm raging. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Now, the King James Version uses these words instead of quiet, peace, be still. And it comes from kind of an old English idea. Have you ever heard the phrase, hold your peace? The words hold your peace mean to simply be quiet. To be quiet. And so Jesus is speaking to the wind and the waves and saying, be quiet. Hold your peace. Be still. Isn't life kind of like that at times? A storm? We experience it from the outside at times, especially those times when things don't work out like we wish. Those are stormy times when, if you've ever run into this, when it seems like nothing works out like you wish. Ever been there? Just frustrated out of your gourd because nothing seems to work out like you wish. So then you could say there's probably a storm on the inside too. There are storms when it comes to how we experience life. There's storms, internal storms, when we're not happy in ourselves. There are relational storms. There are growth storms when we know that God may want us on a different track than we are. And we know that we have to say no to this to be able to experience this new and good and life-producing thing. One of the things that I appreciate about our pastor's fellowship is that we learn things from each other's tradition. And two of the pastors in the local pastor fellowship were our Lutherans. And they talked a bit about mortification. Anybody know what mortification is as far as a spiritual discipline? It sounds just like probably what you think it might be. Mortification means to die. To die to self. You say no to self so you can say yes to God. And that's sometimes what the storm is about. Say no to self so you can say yes to Him. That's part of the storms that happen to us. Let me commend our Prince of Peace to you. If you are in a storm right now, I'd like you to join me in a few moments of reflection. I'm going to put a song on that talks about Jesus' command to the storm. It repeats several times. But if we could internalize this when the storms come, I think we might be able to live more perfectly the peace that Jesus is offering you and me. So would you join me in a few moments here of listening? Then we're told the wind died down and it was completely calm. And it is my hope this Christmas that Jesus can bring that to you as the Prince of Peace, that He can bring calm into your very being, that you experience Him in a completely and wonderfully brand new way as the author of peace in your life. Grand Savior, Lord of the storm. You know that we often face difficulties that just unhinge us. We pray that you would come and work in our lives so that we begin to experience you in this fresh new way. Prince of Peace, we do ask you today to gift us with what you do so well. Gift us with the confidence that you want our peace and happiness and that it can be found in you. Gift us also with the desire to pursue your will. Help it to always be dearer to us than our own selfishness. Help us to find such joy in pleasing you more than pleasing ourselves. Bless you, because what you give us is given freely. We know that. The things that you give and even the things that you take away are for our greatest good. We thank you for all those gifts. We praise you for all that you give. We love you for giving yourself to us and every good thing. We know also that you've commanded us to love each other. So gift us also with grace to love everyone that belongs to you, and to love those who don't know you yet, and to love them out of love for you. Love others through us. Help us for their sake and their own. Help us to do those things which are pleasing to you and which speak well of you through our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.